Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Thank you for the privilege, the honor of having a church like this. Thank you for a country where we have the freedom to be here. Lord, I pray that as we stand before you sinful, we're needy. Lord, none of us are what we should be. I pray that you'd use the man of God today as he preaches your word to change our hearts. Lord, change us so that we could go out and reach more people for you, that heaven might rejoice, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
John chapter 6, we read earlier together the first six verses. I'll remind you of what is taking place in this passage of Scripture. There was a great multitude of people that had gathered at a mountain near the city of Bethsaida. The people were hungry. The Bible says there were 5,000 men in that place. That would not count the women, would not count the children. They were hungry. Jesus turns to Philip, one of his disciples, and he says, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So you may have as many as 10,000 people that are hungry, and they're trying to figure out, how are we going to feed these people? Now, if I may, I want to go to the end of the story very quickly. I want you to know what's going to happen, but then I want to go back to the middle of the story, and we'll find our sermon in the midst of this story. You see, all these people are hungry. They need to be fed. Jesus turns to Philip and says, where are we going to get bread to feed all these people? The way the story goes is they find a little boy. That little boy has 5 small loaves and a couple fish. It'd be like having, he's got 5 pieces of bread and a couple of fish. And he's got a sack lunch, if you will. And they take that sack lunch, and Jesus, by way of a miracle, multiplies that sack lunch. And the Bible says that he blessed it, he broke it, and he began to feed those people. And he fed all of those people. Somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 people were fed from that one little sack lunch. You say, boy, that sounds impossible. Well, it's a miracle. But I have to remind you something. That wasn't so hard for Jesus. He multiplies all the corn in the field. And if he can multiply all the corn in the field, why would it be so hard for him to make some cornbread for some people to eat? He's the one that puts all the fish in the sea. And so he can multiply fish and he can multiply bread. That's no problem for him. And then after they fed everybody, they gathered up all the leftovers, and there were 12 baskets full. What a miracle. Now, I want to go back into the center part of the story, because that's where the sermon will come from this morning. Here they are. Remember now, they don't have a little boy's lunch yet. We're going back further than that. Actually, Jesus turns to Philip and says to Philip, Philip, we have all these people. And he asked this question in John chapter 6, verse 6. It says, in John chapter 6, verse 5, he says, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus turns to Philip and says, Philip, where are we going to get the bread that we need to feed all these people? I ask, is it possible that Jesus, the all-knowing one, did not know where bread could be bought? Why did he ask Philip, where can we get bread? Is it possible that Jesus at this moment could not answer such a simple question? Where can we get bread? Somebody could say that maybe Jesus, by asking this question, has a flaw in his omnipotence. But I don't think so. Hey, does this disqualify Jesus from being God come in the flesh? I mean, why would Jesus have to ask, where can we get bread? Oh, I don't think it disqualifies him at all, because I see what the Bible says. Notice in verse 6, it said he asked this question to Philip for a reason. The Bible says to prove him, to prove Philip. In other words, Jesus said to Philip, Philip, where are we going to get bread to feed all these people? And he was asking Philip that question because he's getting ready to do something with Philip. He's getting ready to figure something out about Philip himself. Jesus didn't need information from Philip. Jesus didn't need any counsel from Philip. Jesus didn't need Philip to multiply the bread. But what was about to happen is Jesus was about to multiply Philip. He asked Philip that question because he was getting ready to do something in Philip's life, you see. Hey, what's your situation today? What do you face today? Whatever your situation in life is, I'm going to promise you, God is trying to grow you in it. God is trying to grow you through it. You see, Philip faced a problem here. He's looking at these massive people, 10,000 people. He's trying to figure out, where in the world is he going to get bread to feed all these people? Philip's problem was bigger than Philip. Philip's situation was bigger than Philip. The goal that had been set before Philip was bigger than Philip. Since I'm thinking about the word bigger, everybody from Texas thinks that Texas is bigger. You know how they feel about that? You'll like this. There was a blind man who decided to visit Texas. When he arrived on an airplane, he felt the seats and he said, wow, these airplane seats are big. And the person sitting next to him said, yeah, everything's big in Texas. Once in Texas, he went to a restaurant and he ordered a steak. They brought him a humongous chunk of meat. The blind man was eating and he said, wow, this is a big steak. And the guy sitting beside him said, yeah, everything's big in Texas. They ordered him a root beer and they brought out a great big old mug of root beer. And he put his hands on that thing and he could hardly pick it up. And he said, wow, is this a big mug of root beer? And the waiter said, everything's big in Texas. Well, after gulping down that big old root beer, the blind man asked where the restroom was. The waiter replied, you go to the second door on the right. So the blind man stood up, stumbled through the hallway, missed the second door, and ended up at the third door. The third door led into the swimming pool. He walked right into the pool and fell in. While he was going under, he started shouting, don't flush! Don't flush! Because everything's big in Texas. Hey, do you face a problem that is bigger than you? Hey, Philip did not know what Philip would do. But let me tell you something. Jesus knew exactly what Jesus would do. And that ought to encourage all of us. Philip didn't know what Philip could do with this situation, but Jesus knew what Jesus could do with this situation. Your problem or your need in life may be bigger than you, but I'm going to promise you something. It is not bigger than Jesus Christ. Your goal may be beyond your strength, but your goal is not beyond the strength of Jesus Christ. I call the sermon, we find a passage of scripture there in John chapter 6, verse number 6. I call the sermon, for he knew what he would do. For he knew what he would do. You see, Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. Now, we all know there's a miracle forthcoming. But back then, at the beginning of this thing, Jesus turned to Philip and said, Philip, where are we going to get the bread to feed all these people? And Philip got a little panicky about the thing and he didn't know what they were going to do. But I've got good news for you, folks. Whatever you face, you may not know the answer, but Jesus knows the answer. Whatever your goal in life is, you might not know how to get there, but Jesus knows how to get there. Whatever your burden, you might say, I do not know how I am going to face this. You might not know how you can face it, but God knows how you can face it because God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. Stay with me if you would, please. There was a question here. The Bible says the question was asked to Philip to prove him. A question to prove Philip. The question wasn't asked for the producing of bread. Jesus was not trying to get that bread out of Philip. He was asking Philip the question, why? Because God was trying to do something in Philip's life at that very moment. For instance, Jesus wasn't trying to get Philip to produce food or bread. What was he doing? He was trying to develop Philip's faith. He was trying to develop Philip's faith when he said, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Well, what will Philip say? Here Jesus has said to him, we got 10,000 people to feed. Philip, how strong's your faith? Philip, where are we going to get the bread to feed these 10,000 people? You know something? If you know a little bit about the Bible and Bible history, had Philip's faith been just a little stronger at this point, he could have said this. Jesus asked the question, where are we going to get the bread? Philip could have turned to him and said, Jesus, you're greater than Moses. And God provided Moses with bread or manna in the wilderness. You could provide it. But Philip's faith was not that strong. He could have said, Jesus, you're greater than Elijah. And God helped to provide bread in a famine for the widow of Zarephath. We talked about that a week or so ago. But Philip's faith was not that strong. Hey, had Philip's faith been as strong as what it should have been, he would have said, Jesus, you're the bread of life. You're the bread of life. But Philip's faith was not that strong. He could have said, Jesus, you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But see, Philip's faith was not that strong. Why in the world did Jesus ask Philip where they were going to get bread? It's not because Jesus didn't know where they're going to get bread. And it's not because Jesus was asking Philip to provide the bread. Jesus was trying to strengthen the faith of Philip. And so, instead of Philip giving one of those answers, Jesus, you're the bread of life, or Jesus, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what Philip did? Jesus said, Philip, where are we going to get the bread? Philip went and got his money. He started counting his money. Well, Philip didn't have enough money to feed 10,000 people. Then he got the disciples' treasury. The Bible says Philip actually started counting his pennies. Five, six, seven, eight. Oops, right. You've seen a miracle here today, folks. This is now holy water. Philip started counting his pennies. And you know what the Bible says? He counted 200 pennies and he said, look, all we've got are 200 pennies. 200 penny worth is not enough to feed all these people. What would have happened if Philip would have turned back to Jesus and just said, you'll have to do it, Jesus. You're the only one that has the power to do this. Let me ask you a question today. What do you face? What do you face in life? What goal? What burden? What are you facing? Is it possible that God is strengthening your faith? Is it possible? Hey, you've looked every which way. You've tried everything. You're trying to figure out how to solve the problem. And you say, I've tried this. I've tried that. I've tried this. I've tried that. I've tried this. I've tried that. I guess God will just have to do it. What would have happened if you and I would have turned to God first? Do you face something today and God is strengthening your faith? You see, why did Jesus ask Philip that question? Where are we going to get the bread? I think he was trying to strengthen the faith of Philip. But not only that. I don't think Jesus was asking Philip for food. I don't think he was asking Philip to multiply the bread. I think he was also strengthening the sympathy of Philip. He wanted Philip to develop a sympathy in his heart for people. When Jesus asked Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? It moved Philip's heart to care about those people. Yes. Up until that point, the person that Philip cared about was Philip. And all of a sudden, Jesus turns to Philip and says, there are 10,000 people here. They're hungry. We need to feed them. Now, Philip, what are we going to do about this? And suddenly, Philip realized Philip was not just to be caring about Philip, but Philip should be caring about all these people. All these people. Hey, you know what had happened in this story if you read the whole thing? The other disciples that were there, they heard the question.
They knew there were 10,000 people. They heard the question, where shall we buy meat? And you know what the other disciples said? They said, well, send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy their food. They said, but just get rid of them. Just get rid of them. But wait a minute. Maybe Jesus noticed in Philip that Philip had a little compassion toward the people. Maybe Jesus looked at Philip and said, you know something? I see the start of a very tender heart for Philip. And I think he said, Philip, where are we going to get the food to feed all these people? What was he doing? He was trying to get Philip to realize life's not all about Philip. And Philip needed to get his eyes off of himself and realize there's somebody else out there that needs help. And Philip's compassion and tenderness needed to be developed. Jesus knew that if Philip was going to ever do anything great for God, that his care had to be developed. I don't know what you're facing right now, but I'm going to tell you something. God may be growing your sympathy for people. God may have you in a situation. You may have a need or a burden, and the whole purpose in it is God is trying to develop your sympathy for others. You see, I think God was trying to develop Philip in the sense that he wanted to broaden Philip's faith. And then he wanted to develop the sympathy of Philip for these people. Brother Randy Summers and I were out soul winning last Thursday night. Had the chance to win about 4 men to Jesus Christ. But the last man that I won to Christ was a man sitting in a wheelchair. When I reached out to shake his hand, he could hardly get his hand toward mine. The man had a terrible disease. His speech was slurred and it had affected his body. And I looked at that man and I thought that man must be about 70 or 75 years of age. And then I won the man to Jesus Christ. I asked him how old he was. He was 30 years of age. And my heart just broke. God reached into my heart and said, Jeff Owens, you're 51 years of age. This man looks like he's 20 years your senior. And I began to thank God, and I thank God for what God allows my body to do, and that I can walk and that I can talk and that I can see. But I'll tell you something, my heart broke for that man. I believe that God had me in that place at that time talking to that man because God was working on the tenderizing of the heart of Jeff Owens. And I think there are some of you out there, you are in a position of life and you're in that position right now for the same reason that Jesus said to Philip, Philip's, whence shall we buy bread? God was trying to get Philip to look around and realize there were people around him that were hurting, and Philip wasn't the only one that had problems, and Philip wasn't the only one that was hungry, and Philip wasn't the only one that needed his needs met. Let me say, everybody in this room, God wants you to get your eyes off yourself sometimes and realize there's somebody else that they have needs. They have needs. Jesus knew that Philip loved, but he felt like Philip's love needed better developed. So he said, look around, Philip. Look at the mass of these people. Philip, we've got to figure out a way to help them. And I think Jesus was glad that Philip said, I'll look around. I'll try to figure out a way. Now, Jesus was the way the people were going to be helped. But thank God, Philip got involved and said, I want to try. I want to try to help with this thing. Hey, is God right now trying to grow your love for people? Is God right now trying to strengthen your faith? Strengthen your faith beyond you? Is God trying to stretch your capacity? That's what he was doing with Philip. Jesus said, I asked the question to Philip because I wanted to prove Philip. I wanted to teach Philip something. I wanted to expand Philip. I wanted to grow Philip. I believe all over this massive auditorium and this sea of faces, God is stretching some people. God is growing some people. He's trying to get you to have greater faith in the God of the universe. He is trying to help you to care about others and to develop a sympathy and a concern for somebody other than you. But not only that, I see that I don't think that Jesus wanted Philip to multiply the bread. I don't think he wanted food out of Philip. I think he was trying to get Philip to have a burden for the people of his hometown. He's trying to get him to have a burden for the people of his hometown. Why was Philip the one that was chosen by Jesus for this particular situation? Why was Philip chosen to be the one to be asked this question? Why Philip? Why not one of the other disciples? Why not Matthew? Hey, why not James? Why not? But why was it Philip? I'll tell you why. This thing took place right here. This story of the feeding of the 5,000 men, probably up to 10,000 men, women, and children. This took place near the city of Bethsaida. Philip was born in Bethsaida. This is Philip's hometown. You look at John 1:44, it'll tell you Philip was of Bethsaida. There's a reason why God was stretching the faith of Philip. There's a reason why God was trying to get Philip to care about more than himself. Why? Philip was in his home tromping grounds. Philip was in the area where Philip grew up. Philip was in the area that was an area that Philip knew the people. I think Jesus said to Philip, how can we feed your people, Philip? The people you went to high school with. The people that pay taxes in your county. The people that drive up and down your streets, Philip. How are we going to feed your people? How are we going to feed the people that you're associated with, that you rub shoulders with down at Walmart? How are we going to feed them? And in Matthew 19:19, it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, folks, I see God doing something here in Philip's life. I see God coming to Philip and saying, Philip, we need to strengthen your faith. And Philip, we need to strengthen your sympathy and your love for people. And Philip, we need to make sure that you care about the people that you live with. And you need to care about the people that operate the stores in your hometown and the factories in your hometown. And the people that attend to your police department and your fire department and the people that you seem to care about. Let me tell you what happens in church, folks. We somehow, we'll give money and we'll say we love the souls of men and we'll send money to the mission field. And we'll say, oh, pity those poor people on the mission field. Pity those poor people that don't know about Jesus. Pity those poor people that have never been saved. And you know what we'll do? We'll muster a burden for somebody that lives in Africa that needs to be born again. And then we'll let our own next door neighbor die and go to hell. And we won't even give them the attention or the time of day. And I think Jesus was saying, Philip, I don't want you just to care about the outlying cities or the other countries. Philip, I want you to care about the people of Bethsaida. I want you to look and see there are people lost and hungry and dying and going to hell. And they're right here from your town. Let me say to everybody in this building, we need to reach the people of Martinsburg, West Virginia for Jesus Christ. We need to reach the people that live out in Inwood and Charlestown and Jaredstown and Bunker Hill. People of Beddington need to know of Jesus and Kearneysville and Hagerstown and Winchester and Hedgesville. There are some of you, you'll drive right through your town. You've never told anybody in your town about Jesus Christ. But you'll give, and I want you to give to our missions program. What a dynamic, successful missions program we have. But wait a minute. We can't pay somebody to reach the ones that live in your town. And you're to reach the lady that rings you out down at Food Lion. And you're to help try to reach the man that you paid gas to up at Sheets Gas Station. And you're to reach your postman. And you're to reach the people where you go to the doctor. We need to reach the people of Glengarry. You've got to reach it, the people in Marlow and Falling Waters and Williamsport and Shepherdstown and Berkeley Springs and Darksville. We need to reach those people. And I think that Jesus Christ looked at Philip. He said, Philip, how are we going to feed these people? These people to Philip were Philip's people. And Jesus was trying to get Philip to realize that Philip had an opportunity to influence his city, his county, his state. Make a difference in regard to the streets where his kids walk up and down the street. Let me tell you all something, folks. The Church of Jesus Christ can make a community far stronger and more pleasant to live in. The Church of Jesus Christ can take some drunk drivers off of the roads and take some needles out of some addict's vein. Hey, the Church of Jesus Christ can salvage some family because moms and dads get born again and little boys and girls get to have saved mommies and daddies rearing them in the church. Hey, I say to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, let's reach out. Let's reach our county. Let's reach our city. You reach the people in your subdivision. The average person won't. They'll drive right past it. But I think Philip was saying, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Jesus didn't need Philip to work a miracle. Jesus needed Philip to look within. Jesus needed Philip's faith to be strengthened. Jesus wanted Philip's compassion to be strengthened. Jesus wanted Philip to decide that Philip was going to make a difference with the people that he loved. And Philip was to make a difference with the people where he lived. Philip was to make a difference in his hometown. Philip was to make a difference with the people that went to his school and his grocery store and his gas station and his post office. And Jesus said, Philip, you better make sure that you care about those people. But not only that, I also see that Jesus, when he said, when shall we buy bread? I don't think that Jesus was saying to Philip, I need you to multiply the bread. I don't think he was saying to Jesus, go take an offering and try to come up with the money, Philip. I think he was trying to prove Philip. He was trying to grow Philip. He was not trying to get Philip to multiply bread, but Jesus was trying to multiply Philip. He wanted to grow Philip. And how did he do it? I think he wanted to grow his humility. Philip's humility. He says to Philip, Philip, when shall we buy bread? Philip's looked at the money in his own pocket and says, well, I don't have enough. Then he looks at the disciples' treasury and he comes up with a total of 200 pennies, 200 penny worth of bread. And he said, that's not enough. And then and he says in verse 7, Philip answers him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. He said, even if we gave everybody one bite, we don't have enough to do this. We couldn't give everybody one little bite of bread with 200 penny worth. And Philip basically went to Jesus and said, I can't do it. Philip said, I can't solve the problem. I think in Jesus has already said, we're getting close here. We are getting close here. Jesus wanted Philip to depend on Jesus. He said, Philip was asked the question because his faith needed strengthened. His love needed strengthened. We needed to make sure that Philip realized those people in his hometown were his neighbors. And Philip was to care about them and love them and reach them. And then Jesus wanted Philip to say, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Listen, what do you face? Jesus may have you facing something so that your faith grows, so your love grows, so you care about people other than yourself. And he may be having you face something because he wants you to come to the point where you say, I can't do this. I'm going to have help. I can't do it. Philip said, I can't do it. I don't have enough. We, the disciples, we can't do it. What in the world are we going to do? Hey, what's your problem? Are you to the point where you say, you know something? I do not have the solution. You say, well, Brother Owens, nobody on the face of this earth could solve my problem. You're right. Nobody on the face of this earth can. But it may be that there's someone that lives in another place called Jesus Christ, and he can solve your problem. You say, I'm weak. I know, but Jesus is strong. Has God brought something to you that is bigger than you? And he's trying to reveal your pride. And what he's trying to do is to humble you down so that you will depend on him. You know, we all do a pretty good job of solving our own problems. And I think God wants us to do what we can to solve our problems. But there comes a point sometimes when we can't solve the problem. And we'll just have to keep our faith in God. Is somebody here going through humility training? I think Philip did. I think God said to Philip, said, where are you going to get the bread? And he said, I don't know where we're going to get the bread. God was trying to strengthen his faith, strengthen his love, strengthen him. So he cared about somebody other than himself. And God was trying to get Philip to realize, Philip, you can do nothing like this without me. Nothing like this. Some of you need to learn to depend on God or fail. Depend on God or fail. I love it. As you look at this story, I see that God was not trying to get Philip to provide bread, but God was trying to grow Philip. There are people all over this auditorium today. You have a goal. You have a burden. You have a purpose in life. There's something that's out there. It's bigger than you. What is God trying to do right now? What is God attempting to do? He's trying to grow your faith. He's trying to grow your love. He's trying to grow grow you so you're not so self-centered. He's trying to make you realize that when you try to do everything on your own, you're going to fail. But if you'll lock arms with Jesus Christ, you can do anything. You and God make a majority. But that's where God's trying to bring you, because that's what God did with Philip. The Bible says Jesus asked the question, and the words that the Bible used are these. It says, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove Philip, because Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus already knew where they were going to get the bread. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Let me tell y'all something. You take the big day of next week, April 22. It's going to be a challenge. I mean, there are people that have set big goals. God already knows what he's going to do. He's trying to grow you through it. Now, some of you are not going to grow a lick because you're not going to get involved. But you won't grow. There are others, you're growing because of it. You're growing. God's growing your faith and growing your love and growing your burden for your home area. God's doing that. And then there's going to come a point where you're going to say, "God," and the smartest thing you could do is say, "God, I don't think I can do this without you." And God's going to say, "I knew that all along. I knew it all along. You need me to help you do the supernatural." What a question. I love it. The Bible says Jesus knew what he would do. So you all know he always does know what he's going to do. He knew what he would do. He knew. Jesus knew how much bread it would take. Jesus knew how many people were there. Jesus knew how much each person could eat. Jesus already knows how he'll bring you through your trial. He knows exactly what to do. Jesus knows how to help you meet your goal. Jesus knows how to get you through your burden. He knows your need. He knows your burden. And he knows your challenge. See, he already knew. You got to understand what you're going through. You're not going through to strengthen God. What you're going through to strengthen you. That was the purpose. Jesus asked the question, where are we going to get the bread to feed all these people? He asked that question for Philip's sake, not for Jesus' sake. He knew what he would do. He knew that he would feed all those people from that little boy's sack lunch. He knew that the boy had 2 fish. He knew that the boy had 5 pieces of bread. He knew that the boy was in the crowd. He knew the boy's name. He knew what color socks that boy had on. He knew that he would have to handle it a certain way to get that lunch away from that boy. You talk about a miracle. You say, wow, they fed 10,000 people. That was not the big miracle. The miracle was getting that little boy's lunch away from him. But Jesus knew. He knew that Philip would be there to help. He knew what they needed. He knew what it was that Philip needed. He knew what was best. And he knew how to get it done. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. And folks, I'm just here to tell you, God knows what's going on with you. God's not lost track of you. God's not lost. God's not confused. God's not mixed up. Hey, if anybody's confused, it's me and you. God knows what he's doing. God knew that he was not going to send them to the city of Bethsaida to buy bread. God knew that he wasn't going to send everybody home to eat. Jesus knew it. Hey, they were not going to order peace and have it delivered. They knew it would not be manna left on the ground like in the Old Testament for Moses. They knew it would not be meal from a barrel like the widow of Zarephath. He knew that he could provide. He knew he would provide. He knew that he could multiply the fish and the bread. Now, some of you are all worried about what's going to happen. God knows what he's doing. He knows. You give what you can give and God will take care of the rest. That's the way God always does it. Jesus says to Philip, "When shall we buy bread that we can feed all these people?" What was Jesus doing? He said, "I want your faith to become strong. I want your love to become strong. I want your burden for people to become strong. But I want you to become so strong that you think you can do it without me. I want you to know that you need me to do this." Jesus said, "Calm down. I know what I'm doing here. I can take care of it." Hey, not only did he know what he would do, he knew. Hey, I think he knew why he would do it. Jesus knew why. He did it for Philip. He did it for the hungry. He did it to the glory of God. He did it to strengthen the faith of the other disciples. He did it to show the lost his power. He did it to shut the critic's mouth. He did it so we could even have this story today. He did it so the lost would be attracted to him. Jesus knew. The Bible says he knew what he would do. He knew. You say, "But preacher, I don't know what he's going to do." You just keep your eyes on him. He knows what he's doing. You don't have to see where you're going as long as you can see the one that's going to help you get there. Say, I wish I could see out into the future. You better just see the one that is the ever-present one. You better just keep your eyes on Jesus. You say, but why? Why does it have to be that way? He wants to strengthen your faith. He wants to strengthen your love. He wants to strengthen your concern for the people that you live with. He wants you to stay humble and depend on Him. But He knew what He was going to do. Jesus' ability is not in question in this story. He even knew when He was going to do it. He knew what, He knew why, He knew what He was going to do. He knew when. Hey, you know, Jesus is never late, folks. Never late. Always on time. He knows when you need what you need. His timing is always best. He's not panicked about meeting your need. He has a plan and He is going to be right on time. You think He's late. He thinks you're early. He knows what He's doing in your life. Now, if you notice what Jesus did, let me tell you how He did it. And you and I could learn a lesson from this. We could, first of all, look at what Jesus was doing in the life of Philip. And we could say, you know what? I want my faith strengthened. I want my love strengthened. I want my burden for people strengthened. But I do not want to become cocky and arrogant. I want to remember I'm to do this for and with Jesus Christ. And then you just got to trust that Jesus knows what Jesus is doing. And then the way Jesus did it is amazing to me. I love what Jesus did. He was very confident about what He did. If you and I, listen, let's learn from Jesus. Let's follow His lead. He did what He did. He did it confidently. You know, let me tell you something. You just keep obeying God. Whatever you face, just keep obeying God. Be obedient to God while you're waiting for God to do whatever He needs to do. Just be obedient. What Jesus did is he was very confident. He did not doubt His Heavenly Father. He followed His Heavenly Father's plan. He followed the Bible plan. He obeyed the Scripture. Now listen, whatever it is, if it's a goal that you have set, if it is a burden, if it's something in life, a challenge of life, let me tell you what you do. While God is growing your love, and God is growing your faith, and God is growing your burden, and God is humbling you down so you'll depend on Him, you put your eyes on Jesus Christ. You know that He knows what He's doing, and then you just keep on obeying God while you wait for God to come through. That's what you do. You just confidently obey God. I see. I tell you this. If you see this story of Jesus, he got Himself organized for a miracle. You know what He did? He went to all those people, and the Bible says He had them all set down. He actually had them set in rows of 50 and 100. Wow. He went and found a little boy that had a lunch. He actually, the Bible says they found much grass so the people could sit on grass. Why? You don't need 10,000 people sitting on rocks. Makes for a miserable congregation. He organized them to receive a miracle, then He gave them a miracle. So you say, what do I do? First of all, you keep obeying God. And you do everything that you can. You organize yourself for God to help you through whatever you're going through. You know, it's like this. There's somebody here. You say, preacher, I need $1,000 by the end of this week. I don't know where I'm going to get it. Well, you make sure that you organize yourself. You make sure you don't waste a dollar here and a dollar there. You do everything you can. And if you'll organize yourself to do everything you can, then God may come through for you. I'll tell you this also. I think that as Jesus served these people, I think He did it very happily. He was joyful. Can you picture Jesus starting to distribute this food to 10,000 people? I don't think He was mad at them. I don't think He walked by throwing loaves of bread and hitting people in the head with it. Hey, here's your bread. I don't think He was whacking people in the head with fish. I think He enjoyed it. Now, let me tell you, you serve God, you obey God, you organize yourself, you serve God with the joy in your heart, and then you know what will end up happening? God can meet your need and surpass it. He can meet your need. He can surpass your need. The Bible tells us that when He got done feeding all those people, everybody ate until they were full. And then they had 12 baskets full left over. Do you know that that means that God can meet your need? He can surpass your need to the point where you won't know what to do with all the blessing. Psalm 81:10 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. They got to eat until they were full. Boy, Jesus can meet your need. He can meet your need. You know, you ever been someplace and maybe they served fried chicken and it was delicious? Now, I like the leg. I like that's my favorite piece of the chicken. I like a chicken leg. Fried. I mean, crunchy, greasy. Oh, my goodness. That's the way I like it. Have you ever been somewhere and you may be eating fried chicken and there's one piece left on the platter and you're trying to be polite? And everybody there wants it, but everybody denies that they want it. That's sad. That is sad business right there. You know what Jesus did? Everybody there was starving and hungry. And when Jesus makes bread, yeah, you ever been by Subway or a gas station that's got a Subway? You know how good that bread smells? Let me tell you. You think Subway bread smells good. You wait till you hear the, you smell the heavenly aroma of bread made by Jesus. When Jesus started distributing this bread, it was delicious. And I think Jesus thought, you know how people are. Said if there's only a piece or two left, there might be somebody that's still hungry. Well, I'm going to make sure that I have so much they can eat until they have all they want. That's what he did. God has a way of coming into your life and putting so much in front of you that he will meet your need and there will be bread to spare. What we need to do, I think we need to go to the extra mile for Jesus. You say, right now, Brother Owens, I don't know how I'm going to solve the problem. What I face, or, and again, maybe it's a goal that you've set. Maybe it's a heartache that's in your life or a need that has come into your life. Say, why is it the way it is? God is probably strengthening your faith. God may be trying to develop your love. It may be that God is trying to get you to have a burden for somebody other than yourself. Maybe God's coming along and saying, I wanted something in your life that would make you get close to me and make you depend on me and make you walk with me. And God said, if you'll take a good long look at it, I know what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, how much of it I'm going to do. And if you will stick with me and obey and do what's right and keep a good attitude, I'm going to give you so much you won't know what to do with it all. That's exactly what happened in this story. Jesus knew what he would do. What do you bear today? He knows what he will do for you. He knows how he will deliver you. He knows why he will deliver you. He knows when he will deliver you. You see, folks, best news I could give you today is this. God loves you. And he knows. He knows what he has for you. You're the one that is lacking. Not him. Not him. He's trying to grow you. He's trying to catch you up to where he is. He's not the one running behind. Christian, let him grow you. Let him expand you. But then, let me say this, and this is the last thing I want to say to you. What would Jesus have the unsaved do in regard to this story? If you died today and you're not 100% sure you go to heaven, you say, preacher, how would this apply to me? I'm not a born-again Christian. I'm not saved. How would this apply to me? Let me tell you this. Philip realized Philip couldn't do it for himself. And so you know, nobody can save themselves. You can't save yourself from hell. Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you because he has to be the Savior. And just like Philip realized that Philip couldn't provide this bread in this story for himself, Jesus had to do it, just so you know. If you're not a born-again Christian, you can't save yourself. Not through your good works, not through baptism. You can't save yourself. Jesus does the saving. It's a gift. It's a free gift. And so to the lost, this story applies by saying to you, you need to come to the point where you say, well, I'm a member of the church, but that won't save me. And I gave some money to the church, but that won't save me. And I'm doing some good deeds, but that's not good enough to save me. And I've been baptized, but that won't save me. And I'm trying to be a decent person, but that won't save me. I can't save myself. And Jesus will say, I'll take care of that. I'll save you. And Philip placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And the miracle came. Jesus said, I know what I'm going to do. Let me help you to do what you're supposed to do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask the first question to those in regard to salvation. Listen to this question. Take it very seriously and take it very personally. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Think about that. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If you say, well, preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know that for a fact. I'd like to know, but I don't know. Preacher, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray with me about that. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Who here would raise your hand and say, preacher, I don't know that I'd go to heaven if I die today, but I want you to pray with me about it. I want that. I want to go to heaven when I die. Will you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I'm not saved. God bless you. I see that hand and that hand and that hand. You say, if I died today, God bless you. I see that hand. I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I don't know. God bless you. I see that hand. And there's another in the balcony. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. You say, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know, but I don't know. Pray with me about that, preacher. Who else? You'd say, that's me. There must have been a dozen, 15. There's another hand and another hand. And there's another hand and there's another hand and there's another hand. You say, that's me. You're not alone. There are others that don't know that. Thank God you're here today to hear about it. And just like Philip said, I can't do it. All you have to do is realize I can't do it. And God will save you. God will take you to heaven. But say, pray with me, preacher. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I would go to heaven. Who will join these? Must be 20 hands that have been raised already. So I'm not sure. God bless you. I see another hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Another hand. Thank you, ma'am. Another hand. You say, I don't know. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. God bless you, sir. Oh, many hands raised. Now listen to this very carefully. Those of you that just raised your hand, and those of you that should have, but you didn't, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform, they'll step off the platform and they'll go down front of the church and stand at the ground level at the end of each aisle. They're there to greet you. They're there to meet you. Some of you that just raised your hands and some that should have that didn't. We're all going to stand in a moment. We're all going to sing in a moment. The choir is going to sing. The assistant pastors are going to post themselves down front. When we start this thing called the altar call, there'll be many coming. You're not going to be the only one, I'll promise you. You'll see. There'll be other people coming forward. We won't be going backward, but there'll be people coming forward. And when they do that, you step out where you're at. You walk down to the front. You walk up to one of these men and say, I want to be saved. I want to trust Christ as Savior. We have people that are trained with the Bible that can show you how to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can walk out of this place today saved and on your way to heaven. That's what you need to do. Don't even hesitate. Now, I think there are Christians all over this room that would say, Brother Owens, I face something. It's bigger than me. I face something and I need God's help. And I see what God's doing. God is strengthening my faith or my love, or he's trying to get me to have a burden for the people that I live with, or he's trying to humble me so that I'll depend on him. But I see it. And God's spoken to my heart about it today. Who would raise your hand and say, God spoke to me about some specific things in my life. God bless you. Hands all over the place. God bless you. If you need the altar, you're welcome to come. If you've been saved and never made it public, if you've been saved and never been baptized, you're welcome to come as well. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to...